Welcome to the Lifestyle Tune-Up. I am Dr. Elizabeth Plotner. I'm a family medicine resident physician undergoing specialized training in integrative and lifestyle medicine. My passion is to give you the tools you need to build a life that is full of personal meaning and purpose. In this series, we will be taking a deep dive into burnout prevention, mitigation, and recovery for my fellow high-achieving women. As a physician, wife, and mother of two toddlers, I know firsthand what it means to burn out and the importance of coming back from that experience. We will be using all of the tools at our disposal, ranging from lifestyle to routine and organizational hacks to mindset to nutrition, and with the goal of giving you back your energy to cultivate a life you love and the drive to change the world for the next generation of high-achieving women. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lifestyle Tune-Up. I'm your host, Dr. Elizabeth Plotner, and today we are going to be talking about ways to improve your sleep. So the last few episodes, we have been doing some very academic, cerebral discussions, kind of looking at nuance of different things, and today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We are just going to cut right to the chase and give you a list of 11 actionable steps that you can take to help you get a better night's rest. Now, because some of these things could be considered medical advice, I do need to provide this disclaimer that although I am a doctor, I am not your doctor. Sometimes difficulty with sleep can be a sign of other health conditions that need to be evaluated. So if you're finding that you're having some difficulty with sleep, it is probably best to talk to your physician. You can also discuss some of the things that we are going to be talking about today. Having said that, I have ordered these interventions from easy to hard, at least my thought of employing them. And so let's see, let's give it a try. Okay, first thing that you can do to help you get a better night's sleep is to make your bed in the morning. A good night's rest actually starts the moment that you wake up. The reason you want to make your bed first thing in the morning is because it won't be as tempting to crawl back into the bed. Plus, it feels so much more restful when you're able to just pull the comforter back and really snuggle in there and have these nicely fluffed pillows for yourself. Now, I don't say that you need to make your bed in such a way that you are, you know, doing these crazy karate chops and doing this slow motion, look at me beautifying everything like you're going to see on TikTok. Really, it's just a matter of straightening everything out so that it looks clean and inviting and restful for the moment that it is time to return back to your bed. Second thing, speaking of your bed, it should only be used for sleep and sex. You need to stop sitting in bed and snacking and watching Netflix and scrolling your phone and all of those things. That is a setup for your mind to associate your bed with busy things as opposed to rest. So create that boundary for yourself. Your bed, sleep, sex, that's it. Number three. Try a progressive muscle relaxation technique. Now, this is actually a really wonderful treatment for insomnia, anxiety. People even use it for things like TMJ, headaches, whatnot. It's a mindfulness technique that you can do when it's time to go to sleep. So essentially what you do is you tense various muscle groups in a particular order so that you can experience deep relaxation. So you tense the muscle group firmly, then you let it go, then you tense it again to sort of a medium degree, and then you let it go, and then you tense it to a light degree, and then let it go. And usually you want to start with your feet and your toes and work all the way up to your head and your face. Now, this is a wonderful technique that I recommend to so many of my patients. So what I'm going to do is offer a handout. I'm going to link the PDF in the show notes. This is something that was put together by the VA, and I absolutely love it, and I think that you may benefit from giving this a try as well. Okay, number four, This is where I give you permission to get on Amazon and have some fun and buy yourself some sleep accessories. I'm talking about all the things that can help you sleep. A weighted eye mask is wonderful. A weighted blanket, if you feel like you want to drop that kind of coin. You can get some lavender essential oil that you can drop one or two drops on your pillowcase. You can even try some magnesium glycinate. You can also get ergonomic pillows. People seem to really love when they're able to get into a good position while they sleep. Take this opportunity to treat yourself and get those soft sheets that you've been eyeballing. And if you are in a room that doesn't have very good ventilation or airflow, get a fan. The white noise plus that movement in the air and that cooler temperature can really help. All right, number five. You need to build in time to worry. I'm talking about the worry power hour. So don't do this too close to your bedtime, and you absolutely need to set a timer for yourself to give yourself a hard stop. But basically, as worries come throughout the day, take a moment to jot them down and say, you know what, from 7:30 to 8 o'clock tonight, I am going to address all of my worries. And basically what you do is you take this opportunity to think about all of the things that are stressing you out, but come at it from a solutions-oriented mindset. So you're looking at these things and saying, you know what, this is really bothering me. This is the next step I need to take. And then as you move through the worries that you have and put actions next to them, you start to feel more of a sense of control for these things. And if you're finding that you're worrying about things that you truly cannot take any action for or don't really have a way to build that sense of control, then identify that and you can let that go. Then when the timer goes off, stop. You are done. This was your moment to have your rumination and all of your stress. And if you build this as a practice, it can actually be really helpful, especially for those that have their minds racing as they're trying to go to sleep. Number six, don't drink caffeine after noon. So your body has this currency called adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, and this is essentially the currency that's needed for every single chemical reaction in your body to occur. It's how we function and move throughout life. So what ends up happening is because this currency is being circulated, you have a buildup of adenosine. That buildup of adenosine is a sign that you have been active throughout the day. So your body senses that buildup of adenosine that comes into your brain and then signals the brain, hey, it's time to sleep. So the way that caffeine works is it actually blocks the adenosine from being able to cross into your brain to give you that signal. It doesn't mean that the adenosine isn't there. It just means that it's not able to get to the brain to make you sleepy. It takes about 6 hours for half of the amount of caffeine that you consume to clear your body. So if you imagine that you are trying to go to sleep at say 10, 11 o'clock at night, if you're having a coffee to get you over that hump at say 5 or 6 p.m., your body is not receiving the signal it needs to quiet itself down. So that's why you should give yourself a do not drink caffeine after noon. I give myself a little flexibility there and I say, if there is something after noon, then I will make it a half calf, whatever it is. But my firm cutoff for myself is 3 p.m. So do with that what you will. Number seven, you need to take walks throughout your day, particularly in the morning. So that signal of the sunlight in the morning time is really helpful in terms of setting our circadian rhythms. If you are waking up and going to sleep at a similar time, which I definitely recommend that you do, it really helps to anchor your hormones and how they fluctuate throughout the day in a way that is supportive of you staying awake when you need to and asleep when you need to. So taking that morning walk is really beneficial. And then also walking throughout the day is going to be helpful because that exercise helps to burn off some of that energy that you build throughout the day and also tire your body, build up that adenosine that we had just talked about and help you go to sleep when it's time to go to sleep. Number eight, this is where I say you need to beautify your room. Make your room an absolute haven. It needs to be soothing. It needs to be dark. It needs to be cool. So that means you need to pick up all of the clutter that is in your room. If you go into your bedroom and you see a whole bunch of clutter, that is not a soothing experience. If anything, it's going to sort of activate you into thinking, oh my goodness, I have so many things to do. It may trigger a sense of not feeling safe when you're getting up to go to the bathroom in the night. So really getting a handle on that clutter. That is a process. It takes time. That's why I have it a little bit further down the list. Also, get yourself some blackout curtains. Make sure, as I mentioned, make sure that the room is nice and cool. So once again, getting that fan that'll help you with the white noise and that air movement, really, really beneficial. Now, here is some of the harder stuff. You need to give yourself a bedtime. Number 9 is give yourself a bedtime. You need to be going to sleep at the same time every day, or just about, I would say within an hour or so, and waking up at the same time every day. If you are not doing that, and essentially saying, okay, well, I'm going to sleep in on the weekends, you're giving yourself jet lag every single weekend. And then when you come into Monday and you're having to wake up early, your hormones are going to be off in terms of how it gets you to sleep. The things that are going to remind you that it's time to go to bed are not going to be there. So parent yourself and give yourself a bedtime. All right, number 10. You all know this, but I'm going to say it. Put down the phone. Oh my goodness. The phone is probably the worst thing in existence when it comes to sleep hygiene. It's essentially this light box that you shine into your face, like essentially preventing you from releasing melatonin when you need to release melatonin, and just having it right there, right in your face. Do not use your phone for 1 hour before you go to sleep. I promise you, if you stick by that rule, you are going to find it easier to fall asleep. Plus, you're not going to be laying in bed scrolling TikTok and then all of a sudden being like, oh my goodness, it's 2 a.m. and I have to be up in 4 hours. Additionally, your phone should not be in your bedroom. There is no reason for your phone to be in your bedroom. Even if you're using it as an alarm clock, I say, put it in another room, get yourself an actual alarm clock, and be done with it. The temptation to get on your phone whenever is just way too strong. And in addition to that, you won't be disturbed by calls and texts and all of those other things. The only reason that you should have a phone in your room is if your numbers 1 through 5 on the transplant organ recipient list, or if your sister is 39 weeks and 6 days pregnant and is about to go into labor, or, you know, for my medical professionals, if you're on call, yeah, okay, you get a pass. All right. And then last but not least, number 11, start therapy. There is a bi-directional relationship between difficulty with sleep and difficulties with mental health. If you address difficulties with your mental health or things that are causing you anxiety, causing you grief, trauma reactions, whatever it may be, whatever you need to unpack, if you address that, you will help your sleep. If you help your sleep, it will help you address that. Digging that deep is a really difficult task, but it is imperative in terms of giving yourself what you need to navigate your burnout recovery. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this was helpful. We were going straight for action-packed, do all these things. I understand that sleep is a very difficult topic and we are all in different seasons of our lives. If you're a mom to a new baby, I'm sorry, nothing is going to help you but time. If you are a resident that is on Q3 call, I'm sorry, nothing is going to help you but finally graduating. But for the rest of you that are working days and have the ability to have a normal set schedule, I think you will find this very helpful. Now remember, this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to sleep, sleep hygiene, things you can do for yourself. If you are interested in this and want to learn more, please come visit me at my Instagram at The Lifestyle Tuneup, where we are going to be talking about sleep. And I will be sharing my experience with sleep and sort of the tips and tricks that I use for myself. If you are enjoying this podcast, I would really appreciate it if you could share it with your friends, or at least go to iTunes or Spotify and give me a 5-star rating. That way, other people are able to find the podcast and also benefit from some of the information that I'm sharing. If you are able to write a written review, that is even better, and it helps to sort of trigger that algorithm to bring my podcast up for other people to enjoy as well. Okay, until next time, thanks for joining.